had a wonderful weekend. Can you believe it? Today is the last Monday of January 2020. We've got a great show for you today on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's me, G, here with you. We're going to be talking about your credit report and how your report translates into your credit score with real estate and money expert Elise Glink. She'll be on the show. Also, she's going to tell us the terrifying amount of money that you might be spending on lattes and takeout. I know that I am spending too much, so I've been trying to cut back on that. That's one of my 2020 New Year's resolutions, trying to pay down some debt like many of you as well. So hopefully I can get through the day without buying a latte. I know, first world problems. Also, we're going to be talking about Kobe Bryant. Of course, tragic news over the weekend, but his legacy stretches well beyond the basketball court. In fact, he was known in the business world as a brand builder and an investor. So we'll talk a little bit about that in trending news when we talk to WGN's Amy Guth and Ryan Burrow. So all that coming up. But first, we're going to start with Jim Dahlke. He's the senior editor, and Catherine Davis. She is the associate editor, both of Chicago Inno. Love this every Monday. You guys chase away the Monday blues because we can talk about some really cool, exciting innovation and tech and startups that are happening in our local area. So, hi guys, how are you?
Hey, good. Hey, thanks for having us.
Did you buy a latte today?
Not today, but I did over the weekend.
I'm Jim.
No latte for me. We use the Keurig a ton in the office.
Very nice. Okay, we have a very nice coffee machine here too, so I'm going to try to use that. So we're all saving money today by not spending it on a frivolous coffee latte. Okay, so big news with John Deere. I had no idea that John Deere, which is, of course, a local company in Moline.
That's right.
I can't believe that they have this whole innovative startup program.
Yeah, you know, you don't think about tech startups and innovation when you think of John Deere, right? It's not exactly a brand.
I think John Deere is super cool. Love the tractors.
Totally.
It's an incredible company, but I just wouldn't think, wow, innovation. They have a whole leg that's just about startups.
Exactly. So they have an entire program called the Startup Collaborator Program. And basically, this is a program that's gone on for 2 years now. So just last week, it announced the next set of companies that are going to be in this program. So just two cohorts here over the last couple of years. So still early days, but they're finding a lot of value in connecting with startups. Because, you know, they're finding that their customers rely on a lot of data to get their crops moving, right? So they utilize this program to connect with startups that might have offerings that could be beneficial to John Deere customers. So this is really kind of a global program. Three of the four companies that are in this most recent cohort are actually not based in the United States. So John Deere is connecting with companies really all across the country to find ways to give their customers added technology, added data, added insights, and utilizing a lot of different kinds of new technologies to give customers more info about their crops.
Way to go, John Deere.
Yeah.
Super cool. We're going to be talking about maybe some of those startups when we coming up. Also, we're going to be talking about the new Razor phone as well. So a lot more with Jim and Catherine of Chicago Inno coming up right here on WGN Radio. Wintrust Business Lunch here with G. We've been talking with Jim Dahlke and Catherine Davis, both of Chicago Inno. We were just talking about this cool startup collaborator program that John Deere has. And Jim, did you want to talk about one of the collaborations?
Yeah, you know, we mentioned that it has a lot of kind of global appeal. Three of the four companies are from out of the U.S., but the fourth, EarthSense, is actually based in Champaign, so here in Illinois. And EarthSense is an interesting business. They're just launched in 2016, and they create kind of robots and this machine learning technology that can kind of go throughout the fields of a farm and kind of determine which crops need additional water, which need additional pest control, and which don't need it. So kind of helping businesses or helping farms more accurately determine how much water to give some of these crops, and so you don't overwater them, for example, and you don't over pesticide them. So giving farmers more data is kind of what this business is about, and you can certainly see why that would be of interest to John Deere's customers.
And you said the name of that startup is EarthSense.
EarthSense.
Fantastic. Okay. So we mentioned it before. We're talking about the Razor, its comeback. Catherine, you've got all the details.
Yeah, so Motorola, a Chicago-based company, they are coming out with a new, what is their first flippable smartphone. So, you know, if you remember having the Razr, they came in like cute colors, like pink and gold, and it seemed like everyone had one. It was like the first cool cell phone, right? And so there's a lot of nostalgia factors here, you know, with the new one coming out. The price point is pretty pricey. It's at $1,500, but I think this is going to be kind of a test to see, you know, do people want a flippable smartphone and do they want their Razr back?
I very clearly remember having a Razr. I had the red Razr, and it was fun to pull it out of your pocket and then just sort of, you know, flip it open really quickly.
Totally. I had the black one back in, gosh, it had to have been probably 2006, 2005, maybe. And, you know, it was really one of the first cell phones that had a design forward philosophy. You know, every kind of smartphone, every phone up until that point was just kind of like a clunky brick sort of flip phone. But the Razr looked beautiful. I mean, it was a wonderfully designed device. And so what will be interesting now that the Razr is coming back and the flip element of it is actually a foldable screen. So this is kind of new technology. Samsung has been playing with it as well. And so we're still early days in kind of the folding phone phenomenon, and to be determined if customers really value that or want that. But, you know, Motorola is going to be relying on the nostalgia factor pretty hard here. That will get them some market share, right, against Apple and Samsung. But is it going to be enough to really make a dent and to really help the business? We'll have to see what it's going to come down to is Motorola is going to have to build a really good phone here.
There was something really satisfying about flipping that open. I was always terrified that the hinge would break, but it never did. The phone really held up. Motorola released a video talking about the things that you shouldn't do, and they said that bumps and lumps on the screen are going to be normal, so don't worry about that. And they also said that that it doesn't need a cover or a, you know, the screen protector, because it has a protective coating pre-installed on the screen, so no screen protectors are needed with your new Razr. So, and you shouldn't stow the Razr in your pockets or in your bag when it's unfolded, which makes sense because why would you have it unfolded? But it's cool. I'm excited to see what it looks like.
Yeah, and this is a Chicago device. I mean, Motorola as a business is not exactly what it was maybe 20 years ago or so, right? But, I mean, this is a Chicago-made phone. I mean, the Razr is made here in Chicago, which is still cool. So Motorola is still based in the merchandise mart. I mean, this is a Chicago legacy technology brand. Their headcount is much different maybe than it was years and years ago, but still cool that this kind of innovative new device is really made right here in our backyard.
We've been hearing so much about the retail apocalypse that it started, really heated up in 2019. It's still happening. Catherine, there is a startup that's actually going to help employees that maybe worked at one of those brands that closed.
That's right. So they're called Career Flex, based here in Chicago. And basically what they're doing is providing an outplacement services to, you know, big retailers that are now downsizing. So their clients have included like Gymboree, Saks Fifth Avenue, Topshop, or Topshop on Michigan Avenue, just closed last year. And, you know, the idea is to give employees at those closing stores kind of incentives to stay through a liquidation event, right? Because, you know, if a Forever 21 location is closing, they still need employees in the store to oversee the sale, and make sure that, you know, when they have those big closing sales that everything gets sold. And it can be a really stressful time for an employee because there's so much to keep track of. You're organizing extremely messy store. There's usually higher foot traffic. So Career Flex wants to, you know, give incentives to employees to stay through the end as opposed to quitting halfway through and making more havoc for the parent company.
And so basically, this is an outplacement service. So describe that a little bit more. What happens after the store closes?
Yeah. So, you know, the way that they're helping the employees is by giving them sort of like job seeking help. So they're giving them resume tips, interview advice, job boards. And then they say that if they do stay through the end of a liquidation event, CareerFlex will give them a personalized recommendation letter. You know, so the idea with outplacement services is, one, it can be good for morale and camaraderie, right, for your employees to know that, like, hey, you actually care about what happens to me after, you know, this store closes or you go out of business. And then, of course, you know, it can be helpful if you're looking for, you know, new jobs in a similar type of industry.
CareerFlex has offices in Northbrook and downtown Chicago, and they monitor store closures very closely, and they have a giant database as well of people that are available to work retail.
It's, you know, it's kind of counterintuitive to sort of look to sell your software to a business that's going out of business, but they've kind of found a really interesting niche here, right? That there is value, right? That businesses, even though they are going out of business, are still going to pay for something like this. Because look, as a business, if all your employees quit, you're unable to kind of fulfill those last few months of kind of the liquidation event, right? So you're going to need to move inventory. And if you lose your entire staff, that's a big problem for the business. So they've kind of found a really interesting area here to connect with businesses. So even though these are businesses that are going out of business, there's still value that they can find in a software like this.
LeBron James and Lyft are bringing free bike share memberships to Chicago. So this is an interesting partnership. How did this come about and what is the goal?
Yeah, so Lyft and LeBron are working on this really interesting initiative. It's through LeBron's company called Uninterrupted, and they are offering free Divvy bikes to people in Chicago and other Lyft-affiliated bike sharing programs across the country. And so what it is, you know, giving free one-year bike share memberships really to people who need it the most. So they're working with the Y here in Chicago to identify people who might be a good fit for this program. So think underserved neighborhoods, low-income residents, people who need to get around the city but maybe can't afford a Divvy membership. LeBron James is working with Lyft to make sure that more people can kind of have access to this. So this is through a Lyft's program called Lyft Up, a really interesting initiative that they're doing kind of holistically to make, you know, ride sharing more affordable.
And how long are the memberships for?
So 1 year. So they're starting with 1 year. So they're going to do it here in Chicago, in New York, and in the Bay Area.
And who's eligible again?
So they're working with the Y to kind of determine the folks who are going to be the most benefited by this. But, you know, thinking low-income neighborhoods and stuff like that. So really impactful program for people who kind of need that access to transportation.
Wonderful. So a lot of eligible 16 to 20-year-olds in Chicago area. Fantastic. It's fantastic that he's giving back. Okay. And also, there's been so much about concussions in the news. Can you go over quickly? You guys have a story about that and a startup that might help diagnose concussions.
Totally. You know, we're all Bears fans around here, but for our Wisconsinental property, actually, I wrote a story about how the Packers...
Nice to keep them in mind.
That's right. The Packers and Microsoft have this really interesting initiative. It's a $25 million venture capital fund as a part of Titletown Tech. So it's a brand new initiative up in Green Bay to kind of develop a startup ecosystem around Green Bay, Wisconsin. And they just invested through that $25 million fund in a new startup called Oculogica. And what that startup does is helps diagnose concussions with an eye tracking software. So a really within minutes kind of determine if somebody has a potential concussion based on the movement of their eyes. So obviously the Packers would have interest in a business like this, right? Being in the very physical game that football is. But these are not just for athletic concussions. These are concussions across the board. So interesting startup that the Packers and Microsoft have backed through their VC fund up in Green Bay.
And good to know that this Oculogica is founded by two females, sisters. So that's really cool as well.
Totally, yeah. I mean, they are, you know, born and raised up in the Green Bay area, big Packers fans. So I think, you know, it's a very neat story that they're kind of backed by the Packers VC fund as well.
Well, ChicagoInno.com, that's where you can read everything from senior editor Jim Dalkey and associate editor Catherine Davis. And Catherine, you're headed to vacation next week.
That's right. So I'll see you guys later on in February.
Yes, send us a snapshot of all that sunshine and a beautiful, gorgeous beach as well. So thanks so much for being with us, guys. A lot more coming up on WGN Radio. G here with a Winterest Business Lunch. Joining us now is real estate and money expert Elise Glink, CEO of Best Money Moves. Hi, Elise.
Hey, how are you, G?
Fantastic. So glad to have you here on this Monday. And you've provided me some motivation. We're going to talk about this in a second. I did not buy a latte today because I read your stats on how much people spend on lattes and takeout, another one of my vices throughout the year. So,
well, I'm sorry to have to distress you on a Monday morning in January, but, you know, all of those bills are coming in from the holidays. We talked about this over the last couple of weeks, and I want everybody to be focused on their credit and on getting those bills paid off.
Well, you're launching a new credit series on your website, and you're starting with Credit 101. Why were you motivated to do this?
Well, you know, in partnership with Equifax, this is really the right time of year for everybody to be taking stock of what they want to do financially over the course of the year and how they're going to get there. And there's so much misinformation about credit and credit scores that are out there that I really felt like now would be a great time to give everyone a primer on what credit really means and how to use it to the best of your ability in your day-to-day life.
You say that you're giving insight, especially on how your report translates into your actual score.
Right. So it's interesting. Most people don't realize all of the different component pieces that go into creating a credit score, right? It's not just, and what doesn't go in, right? So your payment history, like how well you've paid all of your debt, whether it's you're on time every month, if you pay a little bit late, if you pay a lot late, or you've never paid and everything has gone to collections, all of those pieces of information factor in. But there's other things that factor in too, like, for example, how many different types of credit accounts that you have, how long you've had those credit accounts, how many inquiries you have on your credit score, and any potentially negative information that you may have, like from public records. All of that is important as well.
And how these variables are rated, does that change from credit agency to credit agency?
Well, first of all, you have more than one credit score. So we hear credit score as if there's just one magic number. But in fact, there are multiple credit scores that are generated from multiple different credit files that each of the three credit reporting agencies maintains on you. So Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion each maintain their own separate file, credit file or credit record, on you, and that's why it's important to check each of them at least once a year to make sure that there's no inaccuracies or there's information that shouldn't be in there, and to understand what is included, because each one is slightly different. And then they each have their own unique number and algorithm and way to sort of quantify all of that information to come up with a proprietary credit score. But even amongst the three companies, there's also another company, VantageScore, and VantageScore keeps a credit score on you, and several actually, and also FICO, Fair Isaacs Corporation that invented the credit score many decades ago. They also keep their own proprietary score. And so the way that each of these is sort of concocted is slightly different, but generally the same.
And last week we were talking about how FICO is rolling out a new version of how they keep their credit score.
Right, and it's going to be very interesting when they see this. So FICO announced the FICO 10, and there's some smaller numbers after that, but basically what they're doing is they're going to take another deep dive into alternative credit data and how that credit data flows into your credit score. And what's interesting about this is the sort of the larger recognition that people who, there's like 28 million people in this country that have what's known as a thin file or no file. They don't have enough credit data to give you a regular FICO credit score, but a lot of these people feel locked out of the larger digital world. And so they want to be able to buy a house, but they don't have a credit score that works. And so there's been a lot of focus on how do you qualify somebody who's thin file, no file. And so a lot of these different alternative scores are popping up, and now FICO is jumping on that bandwagon, as are the three credit reporting agencies. So things like how well you pay your rent and your Wi-Fi bill, for example, or your internet and cable bill, those things are all now going to start to count for you as you're building credit.
So I'm guessing that's going to help a lot of folks that are trying to build their credit.
Well, it's interesting. It should help some and not help others. In fact, the number that I saw this morning, one of the estimates is 40 million people will see their credit scores go up, and 40 million people may see their credit scores go down. So it's a little hard to know because it hasn't been made public. But one thing to keep in mind is that it doesn't happen automatically. When FICO introduces a new credit model, a credit score model, all of the other companies that use it, the creditors, credit card companies, mortgage companies, other kinds of companies that weigh your credit score, like insurance companies before maybe granting you credit or selling you a product, they all have to adopt the new credit score model, and then they have to change all of their computers to take that in. And all of that takes a lot of time. So even though this got introduced this week, it may not actually impact you and your credit score for years to come.
And the best way to check your score, I'm getting this from a listener.
Well, there's lots of different ways to check your different credit scores. So one thing you can do is you can go to annualcreditreport.com. You'll get your credit report for free from each of the credit reporting agencies once a year. You can buy your score through there. You can also go to myequifax.com and get your free Equifax score there. You can go to myFICO and you can buy a score there. So there's a lot of different places to go. And then your bank may also give you their proprietary version of your credit score. And so you may want to check online. I know Discover Card does this and several other banks do as well.
Time flies when we're talking with real estate and money expert Elise Glink. Her website's thinkglink.com. But Elise, really quickly, how much are we spending on average on lattes?
Well, I hate to say it, but typically people are spending between $1,500 a year and $2,500 a year. Ouch.
And you're saying that's better money spent in investments or saving?
Oh, my goodness. Pay down your debt and then save for the future. And if you really like good coffee, I mean, go as far as to invest in a really good coffee maker. Buy some beans, grind it up, and take it with you in the morning. You'll be saving cups. You'll be saving money. And plus, you don't have to wait to actually get to the coffee store to have your first round.
Well, thanks so much, Elise. Looking forward to more on this credit series. Really appreciate you talking with us.
You betcha. Thank you.
All right. A lot more coming up on WGN Radio. G here with the Wintrust Business Lunch, joined now by ABC and WGN Radio's Ryan Burrow, along with WGN Radio's Amy Guth.
Hello. Full hey. House. It's a party now.
Yeah. I know. You're helping to chase away the Monday blues today. I know it was really tragic news yesterday about Kobe Bryant. But I wanted to talk a little bit about his legacy beyond the basketball court. I just thought these were some interesting facts about him, that he diversified his career by breaking into the investing world even before he left the NBA, which I didn't realize. And in 2013, he co-founded a venture capital firm. And that firm now has more than $2 billion in assets, with investments in dozens of technology, media, and data companies, including investments with Fortnite, the video game,
sure,
creator Epic Games, digital payment company Klarna, and household products firm The Honest Company, which I have a lot of friends who are huge fans of The Honest Company. I think it's a Jessica Alba company,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so
he's also in the film Hustle.
And he never went to college.
Oh, yeah.
That's so right. And he spoke Italian.
Yes.
He also made millions of dollars on his investment in sports drink Body Armor, which in 2018 boosted its valuation by selling a stake to Coca-Cola. So not only, I mean, incredible on the court, but also and as in family life, as a fantastic father, but also a star athlete and a brand builder. Very well known for being able to build a brand and make great investments. So
I had one encounter with him. I went into locker room post game. I was getting sound actually for the affiliate station in Los Angeles, and he answered all the questions and I got all the sound I needed. But I wanted to ask him. It was 2009 and Chicago was looking at a bid for the Olympics in 2016, and so I asked him as a 2-time Olympian. I said, "Is this something that you would be in support of?" He goes, "Absolutely, beautiful city. I would very much be in support of it." I said, "Is it something that you would play in?" And he said, "No." He said I would be 36 at that point. He's like, "You're gonna have to go talk to LeBron, because there's no way I'm making that game." Sure enough, he went all the way. That summer was when he retired, and then the Olympics happened. So I mean, he wow, took it all the way up to that point. But he was right. He didn't stick around that long. So,
and did you guys know also that he is an Oscar winner? And
last year, right?
Yes, yeah. And it was through this company that he founded in 2016 called Granity Studios. It's a media company that focuses on creative storytelling around sports. And through this company, he wrote and narrated a short film called Dear Basketball, which is how he won the Academy Award. So
that's awesome.
I thought some interesting facts about Kobe beyond his prowess on the basketball court. So, okay, so let's launch into some other trending news. Amy, you want to start?
Well, let's see. I feel like this weekend there was a lot of people tweeting things like, well, 2020 is not off to a great start. Like, we don't like it already, because there was just this deluge of just bad news yesterday, right? We saw the Kobe thing. We saw like coronavirus updates. We saw the death toll
stuff.
We saw there's just a lot, I think, weighing on people's mind. But I have been following the coronavirus story pretty closely and watching a lot of companies have started creating little trackers to kind of see where the outbreaks are, where confirmed cases are. The death toll, of course, did rise over the weekend to at least 81. But one interesting kind of backyard piece of that, right, is that North Chicago-based AbbVie, two of their drugs that is sold under one brand name as an HIV drug, is being used as part of kind of an ad hoc treatment for the virus. There's a respiratory expert who says that he, in China, who says that his doctor recommended he try HIV drugs after he went to Wuhan to work with some respiratory patients, and he claims that he was cured of coronavirus from that. So some clinical trials have started, according to I think it was the Globe Post said that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. There's kind of this local angle, this local piece of that is, you know, of course, I think anytime you hear virus, right, everybody, that gets everybody's attention very quickly. I know on the United earnings call, there was that came up again, because basically in the span of 24 hours, two major challenges hit that company saying, hey, here's where a lot of people are starting to buy tickets for the Olympics in Tokyo. They're making these plans now. Here's United, this huge major carrier to a lot of Asian routes. At the same time, they're still being impacted by the 737 MAX issues, and that plane continues to be grounded a little bit longer. So all those kind of things are swirling around this kind of in the business sense of this story about this virus.
Of course, a lot of U.S. stocks having a lot of exposure to the consumer market that's being affected in China as well because of the virus. Some of the brands include apparel retailers and global brands like Estee Lauder and Nike as well. McDonald's, Starbucks have also shut down some of their stores in China in response to the outbreak.
Well, and I think it's interesting too, like the business travel was impacted in 2003 during SARS. What's different now is that if you think about like the ability to FaceTime somebody and like have a Zoom message. So business travel could be a little bit it maybe wouldn't hurt the bottom line in the way that it did. We saw a huge number of losses in 2003 around people limiting business travel due to SARS. So I think it will be different this year, but there's still just a lot of factors and a lot of stuff.
And one thing that we're hearing too about this particular virus is it's respiratory in nature. It's not something that I know there were concerns in previous situations that packages you may be receiving from locations may include this,
right,
or, you know, be contaminated in some way. It doesn't sound like that would be the case.
That's
here.
That's right. Yeah.
Some news as well. Both of you are covering stories about electric vehicles and then also self-driving autonomous as well.
Yeah, I can start. In Detroit Hamtramck, that facility was supposed to shut down. Remember last year they announced five of these facilities, tens of thousands of jobs would be lost. General Motors, as they were changing their business model. There was a big fight about it, obviously. United Auto Workers were not thrilled. They went on strike for 40 days. They came back, and as part of the agreement, it would be to reinvigorate that facility. Now, at the end of next month, they're still going to shed 800 jobs there. Those people are either going to lose their jobs or they're going to be farmed out to other facilities, but they are going to redevelop that facility just outside of Detroit, and it is going to make exclusively electric vehicles. This is GM getting into that game, and we may hear and see more about this during the Super Bowl with an advertisement. One of those is going to be this autonomous electronic rideshare vehicle that was unveiled last week, and it's literally just a box with wheels. You'd pick it up on Lakeshore Drive, and it'd take you to wherever you need to go. It's kind of like a bus, but no driver.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Amy, you have news about Rivian.
Yeah, so Rivian has investments from Amazon and Ford, but Ford has now said that they are going to be making a truck with Rivian's, they call it the skateboard. It's essentially like a modular car minus the exterior, right? So what they've created is, hey, there's the computer system, the motor, the engine, everything is in this skateboard, and then brands can put their own dressing on it and make. So that's what Ford is planning on doing. Of course, Rivian, we've talked about before because they are launching their own SUV and truck that are both electric vehicles, and they are creating a fleet for Amazon delivery vehicles. slated to be delivered around September of not this year, but next year. So they're kind of, you know, suddenly doing a lot of stuff. The CEO says none of these big deals, these three big buckets, are going to hurt one another. They've got it under control. But Rivian is an interesting one to watch. Their plant is in downstate Normal. So there's another local piece of that one.
Amy, you and I talked about this trending jobs news a while back about how Taco Bell is testing out a six-figure salary for some of their Taco Bell managers.
I applied. They haven't called me yet. It's fine.
But Walmart is also getting into the game. They are starting salaries for some employees in 500 stores because, of course, obviously it's very difficult to find folks that are working.
They want to keep the people working
retention.
There, right? They want they don't want people to be there for a couple months and then leave.
Right. So it's going to start the team associate role now starts at $12 an hour and team leads at $18 an hour. So they're going to be testing this out at 500 stores. So we'll see where this goes. Also, just really quick, from the 847 Newsflash MCs, you don't have to go to college to be intelligent. So.
Well, I just think it's, I think I
that's
it just
not
put
what
us
meant.
All to shame.
That's
yes,
not what
yes.
you meant. You just meant yeah. that the well, ton of accomplishments
I,
without.
That's what I meant.
Exactly. Without the typical
I didn't mean
typical
to offend
background.
Anyone. No,
yeah. Absolutely. I knew what you meant. Right?
There's
okay.
some very talented people that do just fine without, I mean, look, I know some really ridiculously not maybe very smart people that went to
yes.
Get a lot of degrees. And I know people that didn't finish high school that are very, very intelligent.
I know a lot of folks with advanced degrees who are not very smart.
But you worry, like, how
yes.
they
and
get
my,
around.
My parents didn't have a high school education, and I think they're two of the smartest people that
go.
I know. So there you go. Anna,
love that.
Yes, thank you so much, Ryan, and thank you
thank
so
you.
Much, Amy. Anna Davlantas is in studio. What do you have
yeah.
coming up?
So I nearly dropped my hot coffee on my lap listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch today. We spend how much on coffee?
It was
$1,500 to $2,500.
Yes. And you could invest that into your 401k or pay down debt or just have that as your emergency savings fund.
Speaking of parents, my parents always said $5, even if that's all you can afford, starting out your career, put it away. I'm like, that's going to get me nowhere. And sure enough, over time, it does add up.
And
it
you invested
really
it.
It does.